Hello, and welcome to our module on how to tell if someone wants to end a conversation. Within this module, you'll find a tip sheet, and I might suggest that you pause the video, go back onto the site, download the tip sheet, you can print it if you like, and then you can use that to follow along as we go through the rest of the video explanation. Now, the aim of this module is to help you recognize some of the verbal and non-verbal clues that someone is ready to end a conversation. This may seem like a slightly strange topic, but actually it's quite important, particularly in the workplace. It's one part of helping you get on with your colleagues, work effectively with other people, and create a good impression. It works both ways as well, so you can tell if someone else wants to end the conversation. And there are also some tips on how you can actually use some of these yourself. So if you need to end a conversation with someone, how can you do so without appearing rude or abrupt? So there are some tips on that as well. We're going to start by looking at body language. And first, we're going to focus on some of the negative signs. So these will be the signs that show you that the other person is really either wanting to end the conversation or doesn't really want to start a conversation in the first place. The first sign is the person leaning away from you. So they're putting a bit more distance between you. And this can often mean that they're disengaging from the conversation. Now, this can mean the opposite. If you're both very relaxed and then you're sort of leaning back in your chairs and having a really deep personal discussion, then actually that means the opposite. It means they're engaging more. So you need to read the situation as well as the body language with that one. If someone's looking down at their phone or at their computer, it means they're not giving you their full attention. Now, this can be for a few reasons. One, because they've kind of had enough of the conversation, they're a bit fed up, they're bored, so they're looking at something else to engage them. Secondly, they may have something really urgent to do that they actually can't stop to talk to you about. And with both of those, it may then be appropriate to finish the conversation and possibly either carry on another time or think about whether it actually has concluded, come to a natural end. You do need to be aware that for some people, looking at their phone is almost a bit of an addiction, and they may well be interested in what you're saying, it's just they can't help but look at their phone as well. So with that one, you need to look at some of the other verbal and non-verbal clues to know whether they really do want to finish speaking to you. Looking around the room is similar, so it means that you've lost their attention and they're possibly looking either for someone else to speak to or something else to do that can capture their attention. So that's a good point then to bring the conversation to a conclusion because they're possibly not really listening to what you're saying at that point. Those ones are ones I'd suggest that you don't do yourself if you want to disengage from a conversation because those can look a little rude. I would try to use some of the more subtle signs that we mentioned. So glancing at a clock or watch could be for a couple of reasons, either to give you the clue that it's time to finish. They might just need to be checking the time because they need to make sure they're not late for something else. Or it could be that they have something urgent to do before a set time. So at that point, it can often be polite to check whether they want you to come back later or whether they need to finish for a particular reason. Brief or no eye contact when you walk in. So when you first go into the room, and particularly if they're sitting at a desk and you're going to see them, or if they don't make any eye contact when you're sort of going in and they're standing talking to someone else, it can mean that they're really engaged with what they're doing, so they don't actually have time to speak to you then. So if you see that immediately as if it was when you go into the room, it's a good idea to check whether it's a good time to speak to them or not. If they push their chair back or stand up during the conversation, those are two escalating signs that it's time to finish. So pushing the chair back is a clue that they feel the conversation is finished. Standing up means that you haven't picked up on their original clues and now they're really saying you've got to go, possibly because they're in a rush to go somewhere else. And again, I would definitely not use the second one generally. You could use the first one. The second one is really only for people in positions of high authority to use. Otherwise, it does come across as a little rude. If they position an object between you, so possibly they've got a drink and they put it directly between you, or they move their laptop or notebook between you, that can be an indication they want to create a bit more distance or a barrier between you. This may be because they want to finish, or it could be because something you're saying is uncomfortable to them, they don't agree with it, and they want to create that barrier. Obviously, be aware of something where it's, say, a notebook or a laptop that they're actually making notes on, so that would be a little bit different. If they continue doing another activity, so maybe they're typing or they're writing while they're talking to you, there's a few different interpretations for this. So it may again be that they aren't as interested in what you're saying, so they want to do something else. Usually, it'll be more likely that they're very busy doing whatever they're doing and they don't feel they have time to stop to talk to you. Or, of course, it could be that they are someone who likes to multitask and feels that they can listen to you effectively and also make notes and do something else. So, again, in this position, it may well be a good idea just to check whether they need to focus on that task and you can come back at another time. If they say they're happy to carry on, then I would probably assume they're more of a multitasker. Again, the other way around, I would suggest if you are speaking to someone, try not to multitask, just because, again, thinking about the impression it might give to the other person. So just be aware of the impressions you're giving with your own actions. If their body is turned away from you, again, this is a sign that someone is losing engagement. If they start positioning themselves where they're facing you full on, and then they slightly turn away during the conversation, that's perhaps an indication they're disengaging, or that you've said something they don't agree with, and you're losing the rapport with them in that conversation. Very similar idea if they cross their arms. Again, that can be a defensive gesture, suggesting they don't agree or they don't like something about what you said, they're uncomfortable. Be aware, of course, it can mean other things. Maybe they're cold or that's just their comfortable position. You want to look for other body language and verbal signals as well. If they're fidgeting with an object, again, that can be that they're slightly fed up with the conversation, so they need to do something else. But there's also a case a lot of people feel the need to fidget with an object, so they can't just sit very still. Sometimes people with ADHD or just people, some people just prefer to have an object in their hand. It actually can help them focus rather than distract them. So again, you need to read other verbal clues and non-verbal clues. So we've seen some of the negative things to look for. There are also positive signs that show someone wants to continue a conversation with you or start a conversation. So if you meet them, perhaps they're sitting down, they move an object out of the way. That means that they want to create that rapport with you. They're removing any barriers to the conversation. So if they perhaps shut their laptop lid or move some coffee mugs from the table, that means that they're willing to create that connection with you. And again, that's something you can do if you're the one someone's coming to see to help create that nice environment for the conversation. Very similar if they move closer to you. So that can mean that you've started to build a connection, so they're interested in hearing what you're saying. Of course, on the other hand, it might just be they can't hear you very well, so they're moving closer so that they can hear you better. If it's the second one, they'll probably be maybe slightly squinting, maybe trying to sort of turn their head so their ears closer to you as well. So that's a good way you can tell if it's actually the second one instead. If they maintain eye contact, so rather than keep looking again, like we said, around the room at something else, if they're looking at you, that means they're focusing on you and what you're saying. And again, you want to use that technique if you want to engage somebody else. If they deliberately stop or put down what they're doing, again, it's very similar to moving an object out of the way. They're stopping any barriers between you having a conversation. And if you really see them do that, it means that they are at that point shifting their focus from what they were doing onto you. You may have done the module on active listening. There's quite a few ways you can tell if someone is actively listening to you. And if you haven't done that module, it might be worth having a go at. There's lots of different clues around leaning forward, the way people ask questions, the way they clarify what's been said. And of course, you'll want to try and use all of these tools in your general communications. And if people are using them when you communicate with them, again, it shows their interest and engagement. Also, we have a module talking about mirroring and building rapport. So if the other person is doing similar gestures to you, sitting in the same posture, it means that they want to create rapport with you. So we've looked at these non-verbal signs, the body language. Let's look at people's actual words. What do they actually say when either they want to finish a conversation, or later we'll look at how they might want to maintain that conversation. So if they say, "I've only got 5 minutes," that's them telling you that you can speak, but the time is very limited. So it's giving you sort of almost a little warning that please don't use up too much time. Time is precious. So if you do want to have a long conversation with them, this isn't the time to do so. So this would be the point at which you say, "Oh, I really needed to sit down for at least 20 minutes. Can we plan a time in the diary?" Don't try and squish it into that 5 minutes. If people say that to you all the time, it might be a signal that you actually perhaps take up more time than you need when you go to have a conversation. So it might be worth just having a think about whether you convey your ideas concisely enough. If they say, "I'm a little busy right now," quite similar to the last one, it suggests that if it's not urgent, they prefer you to come back at another time, or they'd like you to be very concise and quick with what you say. Now, if you ask if they have time to speak and they say yes, or in a very drawn out slow way, they're suggesting that they have got some time, but not a great deal of time. So again, very similar to the last one, be concise or arrange a time that's more appropriate. If they only speak in one word sentences, that means they're trying to hurry the conversation along. So if they're only saying yes or no, or nodding, or just agreeing in general, that generally means they're wanting to get to the end of that conversation. If they also use the technique of summarizing the conversation, so they might say, "Okay, so I'm going to do this and you're going to do that," and that sort of puts everything together, that's an indication that the conversation's finished. So from their point of view, everything's been discussed, everyone knows what they're doing, and they're just confirming that that's correct with you. If you really feel the conversation isn't finished, you need to point that out, but you might need to say, ask if they need to carry on another time. Or it may just be that they've misunderstood what you were trying to get at and they actually do think that everything's been discussed. This one, next one's a very clever technique that people use. It's suggesting that you, as the other person that's come in to speak to them, needs to go and get on with something. So it's making you actually end the conversation and feel that it's your idea. So you can do this in a few different ways. It's quite a good technique. Be careful how you use it, but it is definitely one that you can use. So it might be saying something like, "I'm sure you need to get back to your desk, what you were doing. So whatever activity, so I won't keep you." So it's suggesting again that you're the one that needs to carry on, not the person actually saying it. "I'll let you get on with the task you were doing, with what you were doing. I know you've got lots on, so I'll let you get back to it." And generally, if you're the person this is being said to, the graceful thing is to agree and go back to doing it. Some people don't pick up on this stuff, so if they just say, "Oh no, I'm not very busy, it's fine. Don't worry." Usually, if someone says that to you, they are giving you the subtle hint that they need to carry on, but they're just making you think that it's your idea. The opposite way around, rather than saying that the person who's come in to speak to them needs to do something, they might just say that they actually themselves need to be doing something else. So they've got some work they need to carry on with, and they're suggesting that you should go and let them carry on with it. And some nice ways of doing that: "I'm sorry, but I've got a call to make, a task to complete. Can we continue another time?" "Really sorry to have to stop you, but I have to." So that's one if really they're not They just won't stop talking. That's one to use there as sort of a desperate situation. I'm sorry, I'll have to excuse myself. So that's one to use if you're going to leave the room or if you're with in a group conversation and you want to leave the group. Oh no, I hadn't noticed the time. Sorry, I've got to rush off to do. So that one, it'd be a little bit dramatic. So you sort of almost pretend that you haven't seen what time it is and you suddenly notice and now you've got to dash away. Great. Can I call, email you tomorrow if I need to know anything else? So that's just a general finishing one. So the great is the kind of the summarizing word, shows it's finished. Can I call or email you tomorrow if I need to know anything else? Is suggesting that we don't need to speak anymore. We'll follow up in a different way. Thanks for that. I think we've covered everything. Another concluding sentence suggests that everything's finished. Sounds like we've covered everything we needed to, so I'll let you go. Thank you for your time. Brings a bit of everything in there. It's got a summary. Again, letting the other person go and thanking them at the end. So that's a really nice one to use. I'd love to discuss whatever with you, but I don't think we'll have time to talk about it properly now. How about, and always arrange a time, get it in the diary. It's not always a good idea to keep saying, let's do it another time, because that time never comes around, or again, it'll be another inconvenient time. So we've looked at some ways that people might want to finish the conversation. We'll now look at some vocabulary that people can use to show that they actually want to keep engaging. So if the person's asking you deep questions, and if you've done the questioning module, you'll see some of those words. So some of the why or how or questions that make you think and give a longer answer. That suggests that they're happy to keep talking with you. If they say, do come in and have a seat, the have a seat part suggests that they are happy for you to sit down, and by sitting down, you're therefore going to have a longer conversation. If they don't suggest you sit, if they kind of leave you hovering in the doorway, that often suggests that they're hoping you won't be long and therefore won't need to sit down. So by asking you to have a seat, they're bringing you into their space and showing they're ready to engage. I've got nothing on until 2 p.m., 4 p.m., 1 o'clock. So long as that time's at least 30 minutes in the future, they're saying that you can fill some of that time. They obviously won't be expecting you to fill all of that time, but they're wanting to show you that they've got plenty of time to speak to you. So you can really feel able to have a long conversation. And just some general top tips to look out for. One is to remember that just because you've got time at that particular moment doesn't mean the other person does. Sometimes we get into a bit of a bubble where we think about ourselves, our timings, when our breaks are, when we want to do something. But remember, other people don't work on the same schedule that we do. And just because that point is really convenient for you doesn't mean it is for them. So just think about some other things you can do and just be aware of other people's needs. So part of that could be getting to know when their busy times are. So if Monday morning is always the time when that person has a really busy schedule, do you need to bother them on a Monday morning? Is it that urgent? Or perhaps they have to go and pick up their kids from school, so they need to leave a little bit earlier, so they won't appreciate you holding them up towards the end of the day. If you're wanting to have a slightly longer conversation with someone, I say a longer conversation is probably over 15 minutes. It's good to book that time in advance, so call or email to sort of make an appointment or to check if they have time. Even if it's when you're walking along to see them, just ring to check if they've actually got that time. Don't be the person that waffles on all the time and takes up a lot of time with people not actually getting anywhere. Plan what information you need to tell them, to ask them in advance, so they really need to know all of that. So make sure your conversations are always concise, clear, and to the point. So if you're actually in a more of a management position, so if people are wanting to come and see you as a manager, then it's a good idea to have some time set aside regularly for people to drop in. So perhaps Monday, after 2 o'clock, Wednesdays before 10, a couple of times a week when people know that they can just freely drop in to have a chat with you, ask you things, and you block that time out in your diary so you don't go to any other meetings or anything at that time, and you're just working on your admin. And then if people want to drop in, you can put it to one side. Doesn't mean that you won't see people at other times, but it just gives people a little bit of an idea of times they can come to see you with non-urgent things. If someone does come to see you, particularly if you're in the more senior role, you sometimes need to look for signs that the conversation is urgent and really make time for that person. So we've talked about lots of ways you can perhaps indicate that you're busy, you don't have time. Sometimes someone will come to see you with something very urgent, but they won't want to say so because perhaps they're nervous about using your time up. So you need to read their body language particularly to see if it really is an urgent thing. So it might be that they're fidgeting around because they're feeling nervous. Maybe their eyes are sort of darting about. Maybe they've come in and they've closed the door deliberately because they want it to be private. Maybe they're speaking a bit more quietly than they would normally. So there's lots of things just to look out for. So always make sure that you do check. Don't just keep looking down all the time. When someone comes in, have a good look at their body language just to make sure that if it is urgent, you're not sending someone away. Now, some people have real difficulty picking up on body language cues and verbal cues, like the ones we've been talking about. Now, that can be particularly people who maybe are on the autistic spectrum, so that those kind of clues they just don't notice them at all. So there's no point trying to use some of these subtle techniques we've talked about with those people. Now, if you know someone like that, it might be worth having a quiet chat with them. Maybe they want to watch this module so that can help them. And you may even want to just explain to them that sometimes you may want to talk to them, but it may just be that you're far too busy. And if you are, you will use some particular language and you can agree that between you at another time. And so when you actually say that, they will know what to do. So it's almost setting up a process. So if you say X, they will then come back at a different time. And as I said, there's no point trying to use these subtle clues with some people because they just can't pick up on them. So there we go. Those are our top tips for some of these conversations and some of these difficult times. I hope that you find them useful and you're able to read the clues and maybe also to use them for yourselves. Thank you.